Syrian President Amel Delshada met with President Trump today, the first White House visit by a Syrian leader since the country became independent nearly 80 years ago.
And as Nick Schifrin reports, today Damascus joined the global alliance countering ISIS, and the Trump administration extended temporary sanctions relief.
Today in the Oval Office, a once unthinkable partnership. Amel Delshada, former prisoner of U.S. forces, welcomed the seat of U.S. power. His path from warrior to the West Wing praised again today by President Trump.
We want to see Syria become a country that's very successful, and I think this leader can do it. I really do. I think this leader can do it. And people said he's had a rough past. We've all had rough pasts.
Just 1 year ago, Abu Mohammed al-Jolani led Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, a U.S.-designated terrorist group with a $10 million bounty on his head. From 2005 to 2011, he was detained by U.S. forces as an insurgent in Iraq. But last December, HTS toppled Syria's half-century of tyranny, ending 14 years of bloody civil war, and beginning al-Shara's transformation of jihadi soldier to statesman to sportsman of sorts. With the U.S.'s top Middle East officer in the background, this weekend al-Shara shot hoops with the men who, a few years ago, would have been responsible for his arrest.
It's historic in its own right, right? This is the first Syrian president to ever enter an American White House.
Muaz Mustafa leads the Syrian Emergency Task Force that advocates for Syrian democracy and met al-Shara as recently as this weekend.
Syria itself, which was under the influence of China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, is now coming and wanting to be an ally of Western democracies, and the first Syrian president ever visits the White House ever. That, I think, is the big story.
Today, Syria announced it would become the 90th partner in the global coalition against ISIS. Already, U.S. troops train with Syrian forces to try and ensure Syria can help prevent an ISIS resurgence. And a U.S. official tells PBS NewsHour the U.S. has, quote, advised, assisted, and enabled 22 operations against ISIS over the past month with Syrian forces. This weekend, Syria's Interior Ministry announced a massive raid targeting ISIS militants. And Syria enables U.S. airstrikes. This year, the U.S. military has targeted an ISIS or al-Qaeda leader in Syria at least 8 times.
These joint counter-terror, counter-ISIS, sometimes counter-al-Qaeda operations are ongoing and have been successful. But they've been going on kind of under the table in a way. Today, both the U.S. military and the Syrians will have the tools, the ability to publicly and privately work and coordinate on counter-terror operations.
But what is not being announced today, the repeal of punishing sanctions on Syria known as the Caesar Act, imposed against Bashar al-Assad for waging a war of brutality and torture against his own people. Today, the administration extended its suspension of the Caesar Act implementation for another 180 days. And a senior administration official tells PBS NewsHour the Trump administration supports the full repeal of the Caesar Act. Removal is key to allow U.S. business and regional states to operate in Syria. But only Congress can do that, and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has resisted.
But Syria has much to prove to me and the region before that can happen.
Millions of Syrian refugees want to go home, and they can't rebuild as long as Caesar is even a shadow of being snapback sanctions or existing as an authority. And if Caesar remains, it is shattering to the Syrian economy, despite all the other things. And we don't want to see a failed state in Syria. That's bad for the whole world.
Also not announced today, a de-escalation agreement with Israel, whose soldiers continue to occupy strategically important land in southern Syria after a series of airstrikes on Syrian military and government targets.
The goal here is to, if anything, stop the bombardment and the incursions that have happened by the Israelis. And he also did say that this would open the door for a permanent peace with Israel in the long term.
There is also no peace yet inside parts of Syria. Bedouin in the south accused the government of committing violence and making sectarian clashes worse. Syria's Christians blame the government for failing to protect them. Kurds in the north are worried about government pressure. And former ruling Shiite Alawites accuse government forces of a sectarian massacre.
the only actually reason these people were killed because of the fact they were Alawites.
Dr. Morhaf Abrahi is the president of the Alawites Association of the United States.
It's just an Al-Qaeda mentality and Islamic jihadist mentality as well, that, you know, if you believe in different God or if you practice your faith in different way, you have to be killed. And this is the background of Ahmed al-Sharaa and his government, and this is why U.S. government should be careful in dealing with this guy.
But today outside the White House, al-Sharaa received a hero's welcome. They celebrated a man who's come a long way, even if others say he's got a long way to go. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.